Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we are beginning Torah Chaf Hei together. This is going to be the first shir. The Torah is the third of those in the series discussing the Ma'amar Chazal with the discussions between the Athenian scholars, the Sabbe de Be'atun and Rabbi Shimon Hananya, which go deep on many topics. We gave a broader introduction before Torah Chaf Gimel. As far as this Torah is concerned, Rav Chaim Kramer points out in the note that there is no information regarding specifically when it was given, although it was most likely between 1803 and 1806, when most of the other lessons based on this Maamar Chazal with the Sabbe de Be'atuna were given. The main themes are, and I'm going to read from the English, although it's going to be much more meaningful as we go through the language inside, overcoming one's illusions, we'll have to see what that means, attaining acquired intellect, again, we'll have to see what that means, rising from level to level, and charity, and Rabbi Nachman also includes a veiled reference to the enactment against the Jews, which was issued by the Russian Tsar and had disastrous effect on the financial stability of the Jewish community in the Ukraine and beyond. So with that, we begin. Lashon Rabbeinu Zichrona Livracha. The Torahs that are Lashon Rabbeinu, as we've mentioned before, tend to be a little bit more terse. They're a little bit more packed and less explanatory than some of those that are in Rabbi Nassin's language. We start with the Gemara in Bechairis. Amrulei, so the Sabbe de Be'atuna said to Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, Achvi lan mona, show us a kli, or some sort of an item, de la shavi la chabala, that's not worth the damage it causes. Icy budya, he brought a mat, pashtuhu, he extended it, unrolled it, for lahavi ayala tower, and it was unable, it was too wide to go through the doorway. Amalahu, he said to them, Aisu mara, bring me an axe, some sort of a kli, a sledgehammer, sisru, and he demolished the doorway. Hainu mana, de la shavi la chabala, the mat was not worth the damage it caused when they had to break down the doorway. Rashi, Achvi l'mana de lo shavi l'chabala, show us a kli that's not worth the damage it causes. Hareinu kli she'eno shava hefzid shehu mafzid. Budya, a mat, is a machzeles, defines it. Lo ayel betara, wasn't able to get into the doorway. Shehaya arech v'rachayv yoyser mina pesach. The mat was longer and wider than the entrance. Aisu mara v'sisru, bring a sledgehammer and knock it down. Binyan pesach v'akoysel ad she'ikonis, the doorframe and the wall until it goes in, until the mat is able to go in. Next, he brings a line from Mishnah in Masech Tesaita. Mishacharav beis hamikdash, batal, from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the following three things were batal, and this is going to form the basis for the beginning part of our discussion. What was batal? The Shamir worm, the Neifes Tzufim, and Amana. Well, just to explain these three things, at least for now, we're going to use Rav Chaim Kramer's note. The Shamir worm, based on a Gemara in Saita, where a number of items are listed that became non-extant with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, some with the first Beis HaMikdash, some with the second. The Shamir, he says, was a one-of-a-kind worm-like creature the size of a barley kernel, created during Ben Hashmashis on the sixth day of creation, which we won't go into the significance of now. The special power was the ability to cut through stone simply by placing the shamir on the stone, and it was used for engraving the precious stones of the Kohen Gadol's breastplate and for cutting the stones to measurement for the construction of the Holy Temple. Next is Neifes Tzufim. Tzufim, a matzpah, is a watchtower. We have this lashon in Sipisa Yeshua. The area was called Tzufim or Tzuf because of the many tall mountains from which people could see long distances, and the honey produced there was very thick and sweet, and its taste was easily detected in whatever baked foods it was used. And the last is Amana, men of faith. The men of faith were those who trusted that God would always sustain them. Rashi explains that they were benevolent people who unstintingly gave charity and were generous with the money they expended for mitzvahs, the honor of Shabbos, and the Yamim Tovim. Rabbeinu is now going to first go deep into the panemius of this Mishnah and Saita, and then we will come back around, not necessarily tonight, to discussing the Mishnah and Bechairis with the Sabbe de Be'atuna. By way of introduction, I don't always read these little notes that introduce the paragraphs from Rav Elezer Atiya, but maybe they'll be helpful in projecting. He brings Yavar Sheyeshan Gimel Bechina Shel Seichel. Seichel Bekayach, he's going to say, is Chachma. We'll explain this in a second. So the Seichel, the intellect and the potential, is going to be aligned with Chachma. The Seichel Bepayel, that Seichel, as it becomes actualized, is going to be aligned with Bina. And the Seichel HaNikna, the acquired intellect, which we mentioned in the introduction, is Das. Now, what are these Chachma, Bina, Das? At a high level, we can suggest that as far as the process of information development is concerned, a person first encounters chachma. The chachma is not self-generated, but it's information that is received. And for our purposes, we could say that that's axiomatic. So before a person engages in any sort of analysis, comparing, contrasting, pattern matching, there have to be those pieces that are that are the pieces that he's dealing with. If a person is going to be engaging in some sort of a math problem, then the idea of 2 plus 2 is 4 is not going to be something that's going to be up for a question. That's going to be one of the chachma, one of the pieces that he's dealing with. Where does this chachma come from? For our purposes, we could say that it's information that comes from one's teachers and Masorah, from one's parents, from an external source of information. It could come from the Torah, it could come from Nevuah, it could come from Ruach HaKodesh. Wherever this chachma is going to come from, it's the information that comes to a person that leads towards Bina. This is where a person's contribution comes from. It's also going to be the next step in terms of a person's growth from that information, so that after a person receives chachma, now he can be maven davar mitoch davar, different people, which literally means understanding one thing from another. And this is where, depending on a person's intellect, experience, personality, different people will put this together in different ways. Bina, I guess you could say, has an advantage and a disadvantage over chachma, if we want to use that type of a framework, although it's not either or. We say chacham adif minavi. On one hand, the integrity of the information that a Navi receives, and the Navi obviously has to be on a very high level in order to receive this information, and is batless, and has to be right for that darga, but the integrity of the information is going to be much higher. On the other hand, there's no personal contribution, which again, in certain ways is a mila, because it's a degree of his batlus that he's roy for such a message, but there's no personal contribution to that message. On the other hand, bina is going to be limited, or it's going to be somewhat subjective by the way that any particular person is able to, like we said, compare, contrast, pattern match, understand, analyze. Two different people might analyze the same data set in different ways. So there's going to be the seichel. This is the information that's sort of in raw potential. It's not yet dealt with. It's not actualized. There's going to be bina. There's going to be actualizing that information. And then there's going to be seichel nikne. There's going to be das. After a person takes that information and they chew it up, they flesh it out, now they take that and it becomes acquired information. What does it mean to be acquired? What's making a kinyan? It's where you make it yours. It's where you make it part of yourself. We've discussed in the past, really I'm taking from the Tanya, that the midos and the emotions are really an extension of the meichin. They're really an extension of the intellect, and the bridge is going to be the das. What does this mean? The way that a person feels about something really is an extension of the way that they understand it to be. The example that I've used before is a person is at an event. How do they feel about that event? If it's a wedding, then the celebration, they feel happy. If it's a funeral, they feel sad. Those emotions are an extension of the reality that they understand. A person who is happy at a funeral or sad at a wedding, that we would say is either emotionally unstable or they don't really understand what's going on. Now, just agave, I can add in parenthetically, since the Torah is the truest expression, statement of objective reality, the truest understanding of the world is through Torah, and therefore, Tama Torah Keneged Kulam. If we want to understand the correct way of relating to the world emotionally in the truest sense, that is going to be an extension of Torah. Our mind has to have the truest, most objective view of truth, and then that will flow through to our emotions. Perhaps this is also one way of expressing the idea of somebody going to Das Torah, not Mitzad Ruach HaKodesh, not Mitzad Nevuah, but a person going to somebody with quote-unquote Das Torah for perspective, for an Eitzah, for an understanding of something going on in their life that might otherwise be mundane. It's not a Torah question per se, because they want a Torah, and they want a true, objectively true understanding, certainly without any negiah, certainly without any particular bias, but the Torah, which is objective truth, Yisrael v'orais v'kutcher brichu chadhu, the Torah is the blueprint of the world. They want the Torah understanding of whatever it is that they're asking about. This medium that connects the Chachma and Bina the way that we described it and flows through into the emotions and ultimately into the action, ultimately into the way that we interact with the world as we perceive it, is going to be Das. Now, before we go forward in the text of the Likutei Maharan itself, I think I do actually want to take a few minutes to discuss at a very foundational level the makeup of a person. We'll quote a little bit from Likutei Halachos, maybe from Baal HaTanya as well. But just at a high level, if we think about it, there's really three aspects of a person. On one hand, it is going to be, we'll call it the Nefesh Elokus in the language of the Baal HaTanya. The Likutei Halachos talks about the Yisrael mitzad atzmam b'sharshem hem rechaikim legamri mikol avaynais vein shum oven shayach le'ish Yisraeli klal lefi kedushaso misharsho. That a Yisrael, at a sharish, is totally removed from any aspect of sin, any aspect of something that goes against Ratzon Hashem, something that goes against truth, against the true reality. Now, again, we're going to speak about this at a high level. We're not talking right now about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world and Toiv and Ra at this altitude and the battleground. But for now, there is that element of Yisrael, Oraisa, V'kutcha Bruch, that a Yisrael at his Shairesh, his Elikus, his intellect, his Neshama, however you want to discuss it, is 100% totally aligned with God. At the other extreme, I guess we could say, there is the guf. There is the physical component of a person's body. It's not animated when it's alive. It's animated by a life force, but the guf itself, like there's doimeim tzameach chai medaber, there's a rock, there's plant life, there's animals, there's people, but there's the actual physical guf, the kli of the body. Those two things together don't actually have any bridge between them. For instance, I'll give two examples if they help. One example would be Rahman al-Islan. If there is a paraplegic, the person could be 100% aware, but and yet despite the fact that he's awake, he's conscious, he wants to move his limbs, his consciousness does not have any connection to actually move his limbs if there's no connection between his active seichel and his physical body. Another example would be in more of the context that we're going to be discussing. Let's say, okay, funny example, a person wakes up and all of a sudden they're in the body of a dog, but they think of themselves as a person. They don't have any physical taivas that relate to that guf. The person doesn't have any desire for dog food. The person doesn't have any desire. He doesn't have any inclination towards any desires that are associated with this particular guf. What is that drive? Either, I guess we could say, in the first example that we gave, or that there's going to be a life animation towards the body, or in the second example we gave, what is going to be that abstract life force? It is, in a certain way, intellectual, that animates that it should have the desires associated with a particular guf. That is going to be the Koyach HaMedama, and we're going to explain. Rav Chaim Kramer talks about the Dama, he brings almost as a contradiction from the way that Rabbi Nachman talks about it in some places, that the Medama is a koach of the lev, it's a koach of the heart, and in other places Rabbi Nussan talks about it as a function of the intellect. Let's explain. If we go back to our introduction where we explained that the emotional faculty, or in our case, let's link that with this Koyach HaMedama, or let's link that with what we'll call the Nefesh Bahamas. The Nefesh, the intellect, emotion, whatever you want to call it, this life force associated with the guf, in a healthy person, this should really be a automatic flow-through extension from the intellect. So that if a person were healthy and they have a true sense of understanding, they should have a desire for things that were in line with that. Let's give one example. Let's say that a person saw a piece of candy, a lollipop, a piece of food, whatever it is, and they tasted it and the food tasted good. Let's say they had an additional piece of information. They knew that that lollipop fell into a garbage dump the second before they saw it. Not only would they decide decide that they don't want to eat it, it would actually make them nauseous. It might give them a gag reflex. The information would flow through to the way that they relate it to something on a physical, on a physiological level. Let's give another hypothetical example. Imagine if a person would have a taste for something that would be in line with the nutritional information. So a person would actually enjoy eating something that was healthy, and they would actually be disgusted by something that was unhealthy. If we were going to go down this line, and you could think about a hypothetical or a real example, then we would say that this koyach hamadama, the nefesh bahamas, this intellectual faculty that was not at the level of the seichel alakos, it was not the pure intellect, but it was that capacity that animated, that related the bridge towards the physical, we would say that that was a full extension. It was batel. It was the shliach, as it were, of the seichel elikos that translated itself towards the body, and that would really be a intellectual function. On the other hand, let's flip it upside down. Now, keep in mind, I think while we're giving examples that are somewhat simplistic, physical, so that we can understand them, these ideas would apply equally to something like kinna, taiva, kavod. If somebody had a taste for theft, a taste for ill-gotten gains, a taste for kavod. Let's say instead of a person having a taste for something that was reflective of the true seichel, of the true godliness within a person, somebody had a taste for something that was junk food. And again, that junk food for our purposes could be kavod, whatever that was. Now, in an inverted way, they would employ their seichel in order to feed that drive. So their koyach hamadama, as it were, which we're going to say is illusory. Why is it illusory? Because true emotions are linked to the seichel, are linked to the intellect, as we discussed all the way at the beginning. The truest form of intellect, what's nitzchius? Something that's related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that's a Torahic mind. By way of contrast, if something is associated with the body, there's something that I want now. Will I want it tomorrow? Maybe yes, maybe no. Will an 80-year-old want the same thing that a 40-year-old wants? In a physical sense, probably not. The idea of kavod certainly changes by who a person's friends are, their society, or even just because this world in its current form is temporary. For a million reasons, we could explain that a desire that is a behemadic desire, a this worldly desire, is not essentially rooted in MS. It's not rooted in Nitzchias. It doesn't have Kiyam. And therefore, if what was driving the bus, if the Shriris Halev, if what was pulling a person's consciousness and his desires was actually this bridge, instead of the Koyach HaMadame, the illusory force, which we're saying is the bridge between the Seichel and the Behema, just being an extension of and leading the Guf to fall in line with the Seichel, with the Nefesh HaLakos, but rather it was the other way around, this force that was actually a Nefesh Bahamas, it was animating the Guf, but it's a Guf Dick type of consciousness is actually what's leading the Seichel to feed it. Well, that's inherently illusory, and that becomes the Shriris Halev, where the mind is going after the lev component, as it were, instead of the lev being drawn after the mind. Let's see inside a small section from the Bala Tanya, and then a small section from the Likutei Halachos, and then we will begin. The Bala Tanya, it's a small piece from Perek Lamed Hey, and he says, V'yazai, gam koyach nefesh achiyune shebegufo mamish shemiklipas noiga. This level of the guf that's animating the guf, what we've been talking about in a yid, what animates the guf, we would call it klipas noiga. For now, we will say that there's something that's not, for argument's sake, inherently ar, it's not inherently light, and it's not opaque, it's not black to the point that it won't let any of the light through. For our purposes, we can say that the nefesh elikus, that godliness, is going to be reminiscent of ar, and something that's ra, something that's not kosher, something that's associated with avera, that can be the other three levels of klipa. Klipas noiga would be something that's translucent, that allows light to go through. through. If you have, let's say, clear glass and you shine light through the glass, it will be employed towards R. A person can take a palm branch and they can use it for a mitzvah. They could take wine and they can use it for kiddush. It's something that is inherently neutral and it can be employed towards Ratzon Hashem. On the other hand, if it's used either something between for Aveira Chas V'Shalom or something that's self-serving, so then it will not be associated with R, it will not be raised up, but rather it will be, it'll fall down. So he says, when a person is takes this klipas noiga and he's nishapech meira l'toiv, it's something physical, but instead of it just by default going towards this worldly affairs, but he's nishapech, he utilizes it, he transforms it into something that we said is a flow through. It becomes an extension of toiv. V'nichlal mamish b'kedusha, it inherently is koilel, it's absorbed within. If you would take the light and shine it through the clear glass, where you, which part, let's say you would cut that glass open, where is the light and where is it not? It's nichlal. All of a sudden, it becomes an extension, it loses its identity, it's buttled to the R, kenefesh elikus mamish. And it actually is even greater because it now allows a physical expression of that nefesh elikus. So it accomplishes something that couldn't have been accomplished without the system. In other words, the elikus was there before it had any association with the physical body or with this world. What happens now is that the elikus is actually extending to convert something and be megala godliness in something that that beforehand was expressive of klipa in whatever form it was. What is actually animating the body? What's actually the pile? This klipa snaiga. So it comes out now that the nefesh elikus is coming to perform a mitzvah. Mysias, but through this bridge of whatever it is that's animating the guf, Shebel Adai, here it is, without this power, this Nefesh Bahamas, this Koyach HaMadame, this animation of the animal soul, as it were, Lo Haisen Nefesh Elikus Poyelis Beguf Klal. The Nefesh Elikus would not have any impact on the guf, Kihi Ruchnias, because the Nefesh Elikus, the godliness, is pure Ruchnias via guf, Gashmi V'chumri. Going back to our paraplegic example, what is it that animates the what is it about a seichel that's able to animate a guf? If you want to give a funny example, if I were to sing you a song or I were to sing you a love poem, that might impact your emotions. If I were to turn a car on and put the key into the ignition, then the car would turn on. If I were to sing a love song to a car, it would not turn on. It's operating on a different level. It's not my example, by the way. I heard Ravon Lopiansky use it in a different in one of his shiurim. But the point is that I think he was talking about mafli lasais, the wondrous connection between the ruchnius and the gashmius, and he was discussing that. But it applies very directly over here also. What is it that allows anything that's ruchnius to have any sort of an impact on the guf? So in our terminology, this is the nefesh bahamas. This is the klipas noiga, and without that, there would be no bridge. But with it allows the nefesh elikus to impact the guf and to ultimately convert the klipas noiga and to convert and elevate the guf so that the guf can be engaged in mitzvahs maisius. Vama mutza b'neim. What is this bridge? He nefesh hachiyunas habahamas hamlubeshes b'dama adam shabalibay v'chala guf. Or in what we're going to be discussing in the context of this madama likutei alachis. And this is the last piece. Again, I think we started it before. The Yisrael mitzad atzman b'sharshim him rechaykim legamri mikol avonos. The Yisrael mitzad his shayresh has no shaychus to oven at all. Skipping a couple lines, ki Yisrael him etzem hatayv v'him rechaykim in a rabba tachlas arichuk b'sharsham. The sichli, the nefesh elikus, the godliness has no shaychus with any sort of not God priority, with anything that's going to attribute any sort of a value to sin. Val kein ein l'sitra achra shum achizah v'shaychus l'fat v'sechem Yisrael chas v'sholom. Where's the Yetzer Hara going to even be able to seduce a Jew at all? Ki emal yidei koyach hamadameh. It's this Koyach HaMedama, which takes on a life of its own. This middle ground, which is supposed to be the bridge between the Seichel and the Guf, in order to animate the Guf towards Mitzvahs Ma'isiyas, when that becomes a Shriris Leib, when that, instead of becoming an extension of the intellect, becomes an aspect of the Leib of the emotion, and that is what's driving the bus, and then the Leib employs the Seichel, and it becomes upside down, Ki HaMedama Matas Adam, that becomes what seduces the person. Shumadame davar ledavar. At first, maybe what it has to do is convince you that you're really doing something in the name of a mitzvah. We talked about this even in the first Torah. And little by little, it's going to chip away until you mamish have transformed values. Umesim ra l'tayv ar l'chayshech. And then he goes on that this koyach of illusion, it doesn't happen overnight, but it chips away until you start replacing little pieces. You start having a little justification. You start having a little reframe. And all of a sudden, you don't realize it one day at a time. But after a while, maybe a person, you know, give one example. Maybe it's covered Shabbos, a person has to enjoy himself, a person has to have a little shtoltz, a person has to have a shminis of a shminis shebegaiva, and all of a sudden time passes, and lo and behold, they look back and they have no idea how they became so materialistic. Everything was l'shem shemayim until it wasn't, and it was that koyach hamedoma that was switching out their priorities little by little. So now, let's go into the text, and I think that this introduction took some time, but I think it was worthwhile. Paragraph Aleph. Kitzarech kol adam l'hoitzi etz atzmo mehamadama. Every person has to take himself out of the Madama. Again, he might be employing as a bridge the Nefesh Bahamas, but he's not from within it. He's outside of it. He's not the type of Bahamas is not what's driving his actions and his decisions. V'lalois el seichel, he has to elevate it to the seichel. But when he is drawn after the Madama, Zebachinas Shriris Leiv. And I'm reading a little bit quickly through it now because we just describe this process at length. Shehu Hailech Achar Hamadama Shebelev. When he is on the outside of the system, he is everything is elevated towards the Chachma Bina Vadas, which are rooted in Nefesh Elikus, which are rooted in Tyra, and therefore there is a flow through where his emotions and ultimately his maisim will be an extension of his seichel, but where he is within, instead of being on the outside, that's how I'm reading Maitzi, it's a little bit of reading to the words, but I think it's in line with Pshat, where he is being subject to, we'll say, the Madama. So then his Tivus Bahamas, instead of linking the Behema to his seichel, are actually driving him in a different direction. When he takes himself out of the Nefesh Bahamas, the lave, the emotions being what are driving his decision making and his taivas, umashabra liboy ha'evan. The note over here discusses, based on a pasuk in Yecheskel, contrasting lave evan with lave basar. Lave basar means that it's soft, right? Lave basar, meat can be cooked, it can be prepared, it can be in line with the seichel. Something that's an evan can't be impacted. So what does a person have to do? He has to break his lev ha'even so that the lev can be in line with the seichel. What is he using to break the lev even? Zebechina shamir. This is, again, when we're going to explain that when we had the Beis HaMikdash, which was the Mayan HaChachma, that was the source of Chachma, so then all of these other things would fall in line. That goes back to the Maimar Chazal that we started off with, that once we had no Beis HaMikdash, we lost access to all these things. This shamir, this that breaks the even, is the koyach that's able to melt the heart, so to speak. Shall yaday nichna even through this the lev ha'even, the stone heart is able to be subjugated to the seichel ve'enoy hoylech achar tayves hamadumius, and it's not going to go after the illusory desires v'hoylech achar seichel, which has kiyum. The seichel is not illusory. The seichel, like we said, the pure seichel is rooted in Toradic values. That is the only nitzchias truth. V'chol zman shalahotzi sichloy el apayel. As so long as a person does not bring his seichel to become actualized. So what happens over here? We said that there's chachma bin and das. Chachma is the seichel, the intellect and potential before it's actualized. So a person breaks down his lev even, and therefore the lev is no longer driving the bus. But there is the chachma. He also has to actualize it. So insofar as a person has not actualize these ideas towards Avodas Hashem. He didn't utilize it. Now, it's reciprocal. When a person is subject to his lave, his emotions, his taifas bahamias, then there's nothing to talk about in terms of chachma. He's being drawn after his lave, he's being drawn after his animal self. But once a person breaks that, he still has to engage in a positive way the chachma. Now he has access to the objective truth, but he has to engage it. He has to be maven davar mitoch davar. He has to understand how it applies to him, and ultimately he has to integrate and associate it within himself. So as long as a person has not taken this chachma now, he broke his lave, and now he can engage with the chachma, but he has not yet actualized it towards bina, which again, we're not going to speak out again. It's still latent. Even though he's not being drawn after the behema, he still has to now engage the seichel in a positive way. So the chachma has come out, it's surfaced, he now has access, he can engage it. When, again, it's a reciprocal relationship, so now that he was broke his physical desires, he got himself out of being addicted to the animal desires and allowing the his animal self to drive the bus, so now the seichel can come out, but nevertheless, it's still only in its potential form in chachma. Once he activates the chachma, he activates the godly seichel, he starts to use it, he starts to investigate, he starts to be maven davar mitoch davar and to dig deeper and to understand the ideas. Azayah seichel bepayal. Now he activates the seichel v'zebachinas neifes tzufim. That is the sweet honey. He's margish. He feels the mesikus, the sweetness. And the way that we discussed it before is, first there's a piece of food, something that's sweet, is something that I desire to eat, it's something that I desire to apply to myself. If I just see, you know, a piece of candy, a piece of sugar sitting on the table, then I can understand that it's something that I'd like to eat, but it's only once I start applying it to myself and that I actually gain a personal attachment with it. Literally, your lips drip like a honeycomb. Shehotzi mesikus sichlo mikoyach elapoyal. He takes this mesikus, this sweetness in his seichel, this information, but now he brings it mikoyach elapoyal. He actualizes it. It comes out. Vizeh, in brackets, really, because this is an explanation from Rabbi Nassim. This is not the language of Rabbeinu. Sifso sayach hu bechinas moitzi mikoyach elapoyal shu bechinas hadibur. Rav Chaim Kramer brings in the notes that in terms of the intellectual process, a person has an idea, when that idea is actualized, that comes out in Dibur. Right now, we're giving a shir, we're going to be speaking about probably for about an hour. Before we gave the shir, if we understood the ideas, we probably could have thought in under 60 seconds the general scope of what we wanted to talk about. Then as you want to break it up, give examples, articulate it, go from step to step, build the structure, it takes an hour to go through all the pieces. If we were going to summarize everything we said right afterwards, it would also take 60 seconds or less. So the dibur, when you take an idea, right, that's somewhat abstract, and now you want to unpack it, you want to actualize it, you want to bring in mikoyach halapoyal, that construction is dibur, and that's why over here it's associated with sweetness on the lips. Okay, be that as it may. V'acher kach k'shemasik b'sichlo kol ma sheyesh b'yad enoy shelahasig. Once a person grasps with his intellect all that he is able to, kefi his madrega, oz sichlo shav seichel hanikne, then he is able to acquire it, to internalize it, to make it part of his kishkis, k'mo shekosvu hamachakrim sheyesh seichel b'koyach, v'seichel hapayal, v'seichel hanikne. Now he brings a source for this framework. Rav Chaim Kramer also brings in note 14, the difference between knowledge of Torah and knowledge of God. He says that knowledge of Torah, it means that a person learns Torah, studies the intricacies of Torah, comprehends and acquires this knowledge, but this does not say anything about his knowledge or closeness to God. In fact, there are people who have studied Torah but are actually very distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam because they have made erudition their goal and they use Torah knowledge that they have attained as a tool for their own benefit. Conversely, those who study Torah for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who use the knowledge to come closer to him by learning to fulfill the Torah and the mitzvahs in order to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion and the divine providence over every detail of creation, receive what is known as acquired intellect. So this note really fits very well into what we're saying and takes it even a step further. We've been discussing until now the idea of whether the intellect drives the emotion or whether the emotion drives the intellect, with the truest expression of intellect being associated with objective truth, with something that is kiyum, with something that's emes, with hamakom, with taira, and something that is driven by the emotions or by the animal soul, as it were, being something that's associated with taivas of a behema. Over here, with this note, it's profound, it takes it even a level above. It says, even when a person is studying taira, a person could chas v'shalom be, if we could say, let's say, megashim the Torah. We talked about this in an earlier Torah as well, I forget which one, meaning that if they relate to the Torah's information, but they're studying it through their eyes, they're not trying to be mevatel their das to God's das. They read a statement in a Gemara, Maimar Chazal, a statement in Shulchan Aruch, and they understand it kafi their subjectivity. What they're really doing is they're, instead of trying to expand and be mevatel their human intelligence towards infinity, towards godly intelligence, what they're really doing is taking a particular statement of Torah and then plugging it into their own limitations. And therefore, he says, if a person wants to be rooted in MS, be rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the way at his Shoresh, they need to be plugging themselves into Torah as an understanding of Ratzon Hashem. But if they learn Torah as information and now they understand it with their own Kalim, they can actually learn Torah without achieving this level of Seichel Nikna, of acquired Seichel as it relates to the true Chachma. They could still, it takes Cheshbon and Nefesh, you almost not even realize that you still might be engaging in Shrir Salev, although instead of an animalistic Taiva, it could be a distortion of Taira concepts. But a person really has to understand that they are that they are subjecting themselves to the universal objective truth of Ratzon Hashem of Taira, rather than allowing their own subjective medama to form their visions, which again could really be happening on a Torah level. Also, people can take Torah and misquote it and conform it to their own ideals and philosophies. Ma'aseh b'chol yom, unfortunately, the ikar kiyumo shel adam la'achar misaso. So next, the Iker Kiyum, now that we divided it up into the Seichel, which really has nothing to do with the body, the Seichel, as we've been describing it, exists independent of the Guf. We could say that the Nefesh Bahamas, that the animal personality is associated with the Guf, but the true Seichel of a person, both, I guess, in terms, we'll say, of what they acquire and also what they contribute, is not associated with the Guf. When a person gets into his later years, right, person becomes elderly, are they less powerful? Are they less strong? Are they less of a mensch because their body starts to decline? Chas v'shalom, right? So, and even after the body goes to rest, Be'ez Hashem, there's going to be tchias emesim. So the body's going to come back. When a person goes on to receive their reward and punishment, the body's dead. So if the body is dead, what's receiving reward and punishment? The true etzem person is their das. So he says, Iker kiyumo shel adam la'achar misaso eino ela seichel hanikna. Now, this is their bechina of das. This is what remains la'achar hamisa, which we see ma'isa b'chol yom. Just to read this note over here from Likutei Halachas, he says achar misa mizbatel hamedame. The guf is obviously in the ground, and the medame, that aspect of the personality that is driven by the taiva behemius, also is batel. Ki ukayach batel ve'en shlitaso ki im b'chayev b'shvila b'chira. The reason that exists is to provide a person a battlefield so that we can achieve, which is not our discussion for now. Aval achar hamisa hakoyach hamedame mesu batel legamri. That I'm just reading from the Likutei Halachas. This koyach hamedame is batel kisham ikar sitra demaisa ve nishar mimenu klum. This aspect of the animal self, both the guf and what the animal personality is not existent anymore. Ki nishar me adam achar mosu kim seichel aniknesh useichel amiti. Now this is profound. I sort of alluded to this before, but I'll tell you the way I'm reading it. Let me just finish the paragraph, and I want to speak at one point. She'ikar ha-hash'ara shel adam achar mosu hu seichel ha-nikna. Kim koyach ha-medama she'imenu kol ha-shinuyim. This koyach ha-medama that was illusory, and it changed. It was a moving target. It, like we said, kin a taina Ahiva Kavod. It depends on stage of life, it depends on community, it depends on a million things. It's rooted a person growing up now versus 100 years ago. It was what appealed to him at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave every individual person so that he would have a stage on which to have this battle and ultimately prevail and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kvar Nizbat L'Kanal, so that resistance, that those animal types are gone. Ki Kol Echad Mi'Yisrael Afilu Yish Pashut, Yeshlei Eze Nekuda Toiva Shinish Mimenu, has a Nekuda Toiva that will remain. She Bechina Seicha Niknesh Al Yidei Zeh Yizke L'Chalko Li'Olim Haba, Ki Kol Yisrael Yeshlehem Chalik L'Olim Haba. So I want to just explain the way that I'm reading this, because it's actually unbelievable. The one thing you could say is, okay, so if the guf is gone and the taivas bahemius are gone, so what's left, we said? Really, the seichel for the nefesh elikos, the godly seichel. In that case, so why did we need to come down to this world to begin with? So I think what he's focused on is really much deeper. We'll see how we develop this through the Torah, but I'm going to suggest something, and I think there's an akuda of truth, and I think he's alluding to it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to put the neshama into the body at all. The neshama, before it came into the body, like we said, was 100% kadosh and aligned with God, independent of this world. Coming into this world, by definition, is going to be a downgrade. So what's the advantage? Why go through the process? The answer is going to be along the lines that the point of being in this world is not to be kadosh. If it was to be kadosh, then we were kadosh before we came to this world. Malachim are kadosh. We don't really need to downgrade our existence and experience into physicality at all. Unless you say that the person, the point is not to be kadosh, the point is to become kadosh, the point is to transform, the point is not to be born on the peak of the mountain, the point is to climb, even if we don't necessarily climb as high as if we would have been born on top of the mountain. The malachim are at a particular stage of kedusha. On one hand, we could say that malachim are much, much more kadosh, much purer, much more spiritual beings than a person. On the other hand, tzaddikim certainly, but people, a yid is much more valuable than a malach, because a malach can't change himself and a malach can't change the world. The idea of fighting against the sitra achra, of engaging in the challenge, of climbing the mountain, that is something that only takes place in this world. That is the building of the Seichel Nikna, not just in the abstract having the Chachma, going through the process of the Chachma, Bina, and Das, of transforming the emotions, of transforming the Nefesh Bahamas, that is what's acquired, and that goes into the bank, that goes into the godly side. That's the Seichel HaNikna that now lasts, those gains that were made from the battle, from the conversion, that every single member of Yisrael has, that's what becomes their chelek in Olam Haba. It's not reward for what you did. It's actually building our chelek, even though we don't have the kelim to experience it in this world. What we're going to be experiencing in Olam Haba is the seichel hanikna that we acquired through engaging in our experience in this world, when we related to the Koyach HaMadama appropriately, when it was converted, when, like we said in the Balatani, when it was Nishapech and it was Nichlal into Kedusha, then we acquired those gains. That's what's going to remain in Olam Haba, and that Be'etzim is what remains in this world as well. That says Sifsa's Daivais Bekever, when Abaye and Rava have a Machlaikis and we paskin today whether something is Asur or Mutter, and then that takes on a Halach significance and a reality that's going to change the world today, then what's Nishar, they are there as much alive today as they ever were, and that reality is Nishar in the world. Okay, be that as it may, let's move on. V'zeh b'chinas amana. This is the third thing we had said, that the Shamir, which is what breaks the Lev Ha'Evan and allows the Chachma Bin Das to come out. We said the Noifes Titoifna Sifsosayach, the sweet honey, which is what brings me Koyach El Apayel. It goes from the Chachma to Bina. And now, and the Seichel HaNikna, V'zeh B'chinas Amana, Lashon Ki. kiyum davar. It's a lashon of something that has kiyum. It's a lashon of something that is has stability, that's everlasting. Kmo yame nadvarecha. It's a lashon of the word should be everlasting. But if you think about an uman, somebody who's trained for a task, it goes much deeper than a knowledge expertise. Very often, even in conversation, if somebody presents a certain way, somebody would say, "Oh, the way that you analyze something. Are you an accountant? Are you a lawyer? Are you an actuary?" When a person has a certain type of training, then that goes to, if not their personality, but it goes to the framework in which they see certain things. It's integrated. Ki seichel hanikne hu kiyum shel adam la'achar moso. This seichel hanikne, something that now forms the person's way of thinking, their personality becomes part of their mahos, that actually goes to the essence of what a person is, what they acquire. Now, we had distinguished and added on before, if the essence of a person is their nefesh elikus, it's the godly part of them. Why are we talking about the seichel nikne? So the way that I'm learning this, what has a stronger kiyum? If a person says something that's true, this is aligned with God, this is aligned with Torah, or if it's so ingrained in them to the point that when they encounter something else, that it's able to be mahapech, it's able to impact it. When I am faced with something, my understanding, my personality, my point of view is so aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I am not only not impacted by something negative or that presents to the contrary, but I'm actually able to see the godliness in everything. That is acquired. I have now taken everything and I've made it mine. I see wine, I see Kiddush, I see making a L'chaim by a Simcha, not Chas V'Shalom getting drunk for personal pleasure, but I see making a L'chaim after a Siyam. Everything becomes the godliness within it, and that is something that I've taken and acquired. If you think about an acquisition, it's something that before I acquired it, I didn't have yet. Now that I acquired it, I've internalized it. I've taken something out that's outside and I've taken it in. When a person has one yediya, we'll be patient for a second, and we'll see how it plays out. Before a person knows something, there have to be a lot of individual hakdamas. Once a person is masig, they have an understanding of something, of the introductions fall away, v'yodeya es hadavar b'yodiya achas, and they know it with one knowing. Let me explain the way that I'm learning this. At the outset, let's say that you wanted to convey a picture to somebody, a circle. I can't just give you an idea. I would plot out a bunch of points, like the paint by number, right? Those for kids, I don't know if they still have them. Each dot would have a number, and you would connect one dot to the next with a line until a picture would emerge. So if you wanted to plot out a circle, you would make a bunch of individual points. And then if you would have, 100 individual points, then what emerges? A circle. Once a person sees the circle, they no longer see the individual dots, right? Or they used to say about a FedEx truck. If you look at a FedEx, you either know what I'm talking about or not. There's an arrow in between the E and the X. You could see it. Once you see it, you're unable to not see it anymore. In other words, it's in the negative of the picture. There are certain things that if I wanted to describe them to you, you either know it or you don't. It's like riding a bike. I could describe what riding a bike is to you. You kind of get on and you start pedaling and you go a little to the right, then you lean to the left until you pick up equilibrium. And then at some point you understand what it is, and it's like riding a bike. I think I saw I heard a study one time that they gave a college assignment to a room full of people to write step-by-step instructions to tying a person's shoe, and like no two of them were identical. But if you had to describe somebody, it's the way that you tie a shoe. Maybe there's two ways of tying a shoe, okay? But it's the way that you tie a knot. Once you know it, then there's a certain sentiment. If I wanted to describe a song, this is hard music, soft music, emotional music. Once you have that emotion, I no longer have to dance around the idea in order to tell it to you. I can just reference it, and it will mean something from within. This is where Seichel Nikneh becomes alive. The individual data points paint a picture and begin to emerge, where now it becomes part of a person, and now I only have to reference it, because if I'm describing it from without, then it's not really associated with you. I'm giving you something that you can relate to intellectually, but it's nothing that really resonates. Once it does resonate, Right, it's the smell of apple pie. Right, it's it has a classic look. Right, I don't know if these examples help. Once you acquire seichel and nikneh, the descriptions no longer mean anything. They fall away. They become totally irrelevant, and if anything, they take away from the experience. A person has this chachma. They break it up into bina. I have this idea. We've just been giving shir for an hour. If we are successful, this will now translate into seichel and nikneh. And now, when you go to the next thing, this will be in your toolbox. It's something that now is part of you. It's something that you can take to the next level because you no longer identify with it as information, but it's something that's in your kishkis, and now it's something that you can, instead of trying to internalize from without, it's something that now you are, it's inwards, and now you can use it as you interface with something outside of you. V'ikar hamayin ha-chachma min ha-mikdash yatsa. Now, the influx of chachma, the influx of, we said that chachma is like the seeds of information, of truth, tyran, of Ruach HaKodesh. Where is it that heaven kisses the earth? Where is it that the influx of truth comes into the world? Because everything in this world is bad and subjective, but the Torah is one of the things that the Mishnah tells us was created before the world was created. The Pasuk in Yael says, Mayon mi Beis Hashem Yetze. There was a wellspring that came out of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is where it was not 100% within the confines of reality. There were miracles that happened every day in a constant basis of Beis HaMikdash because it wasn't fully within the structure of Teva. Kisham hayu makrivim karbonos. Over there is where we were makriv karbonos. Shema bahami is v'koyach hadimyon. Generally speaking, when I look through my eyes, I am looking out through my knowledge, experience, emotions, the way that I see the world. Like we saw before, the shamir on the even. How am I going to have room for the chachma for if everything that I look at is subjective, for shteitzel, right? Everything is subjective because I'm the one who's looking at it. Two people will look at the same thing and they'll look at it differently. I believe that there's a halacha, at least in one context, that if they're investigating Edim and they say exactly word for word the same thing, they know that they're lying, because no two people see things the same way. Especially there are certain things where, let's say, two Edim come to witness a contract, they know that they're going to be made. But if two people see an event, they weren't necessarily planning on seeing the event, they saw it however they happen to see it. They're going to different vantage points. So I need to be able to sacrifice that part of myself in order to let in the objective truth. The Beis HaMikdash is where this Nefesh Bahamas, the way that we relate an individual behemadic level, was sacrificed. K'mo shekasev zivchei Elohim ruach nishbara. What is the, through the zivchei Elohim, through the karbonos, our ruach, our dimyon, the emotional aspect of ourself, the Nefesh Bahamas part of ourself, nishbara, becomes broken, sheshviris hadimyon, that this Koyach HaMedame that comes from the Shriris HaLev, this is the Yetzer Hara, this is the inclination towards the Behemadic aspect, which again we're going to use because that's going to become the bridge between the Seichel Eloki, between our Neshama and our Guf. But is that just an extension of the objective truth, or does that take on its own autonomy, its own Ratzin? That Shriris HaLev, that Yetzer Hara, that Dimyon, that Nefesh Bahamas, that needs to be broken as having its own personality. Hey, my Karbanos, we're makriv, we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we sacrifice that part of it. When we do the smicha, we fully lean on the animal, we convey from ourself onto the animal, and then we give it over. That is a tremendous impact. B'shvil zeh amru chachmein zechron levracha, k'shecharav beis hamikdash, when we no longer had this access to chachma, to the mayan, and by extension to the process of the shamir and the neifes tzufim and the amana, where we were able to align ourselves so completely with the chachma selakos, then once we didn't have the beis hamikdash and karbanos, so then we no longer had in the same way, we do avoda, we try to align ourselves, but we no longer had in the same way access to this process. Uchshibana beis hamikdash ozis kaim umayin min hamikdash yetzei. We'll go back to the way, like the Pasuk said, that there will be a spring coming forth from the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll just quote the Zayir, Bistar Darum Ba'azara Da, in the southern side of the Azara, Isilid Chad Mayona de Maya, started a wellspring of water, Man de Shasi Minayu Yishakam, somebody that drank from it would become wise, Viz Pakach, Bechachmasa, and Chachma would be opened up. And just quoting from Likutei Tfilis, Simaher Visachish, Legalenu Visivna, Beis Mikdashenu Visifratenu, Meher Viamenu, the Beis of Mikdash should be rebuilt, Visham Nakru, Vifenecha Kolkar, Karbonish, Yichapra Badenu. We should get a kapara. What does a kapara literally mean? To be clean, to get out of this Shriris HaLev. shleishet varm shenis batlu mishachar of Beis HaMikdash Bezos Hashem Yisbarach. Very soon, we're going to have back these three things that were batl from the time of the destruction of the Bayis, which are the Shamir, the Neifes Tzufim, and the Amana, and will be nizkeh al seichel de kedusha. We will be zoichet to the seichel kedusha, which will flow through to the rest of our personality, our intelligence, our emotions. L'mayin achochma yoytze mi Beis Hashem, k'may shakasuv l'mayin mi Beis Hashem yoytze. V'nizkeh Bezos Hashem, right, lavayit oischa tamid b'chochma bina v'das de kedusha b'amunah shleim memes kol yimenu li'oylam. Amen v'amen.